I've got something to show you. What do you think?
Oh, they're lovely.
Feel good, don't they?
They do feel good.
And the thing is about curtains is that most people have got them. I know that sounds strange. But if you wanted something to sound good and in quality, just wrap yourself around in a curtain. There have been many a times I've done quite important interviews on quite big stations and I've been wrapped up.
Go on.
Come on then. So, I wrap myself round. And once you stop all of the rustling, listen to that great quality sound of my voice. Now, how do I get out? Hang on. Which way did I get in? Just turn me, turn me.
I'm Anna, she's Sophie, and this is Gas Bags,
the show where we chat about the highs and lows of running our non-profit podcast studio and audio business, Soundyard. We listen to amazing sounds as well, and we swap podcast recommendations.
This week, we celebrate young podcasters, marvel at fancy new curtains in the studio, and unfortunately, lose more sleep over those problematic energy bills.
It's my turn for Found Sound, and it's another wet one.
My podcast swap this week goes boo in the night. Hello, Sydney. I mean, hello, Sophie.
I've been a little uninspired this week, so I'm turning back to an incredible classic that, if you haven't listened to it yet, you really must.
Okay, I'm going to start off this week with the good bits bit. We're not ill. Hello, my well friend.
Feels good.
It does feel good. Seriously, though, we have had one fantastic experience this week.
It was the most rewarding and probably my favourite thing that we've done so far in the studio.
It was beautiful chaos. So on Tuesday, we had two young people come in and they were just delightful. They had such good energy. One was 5 and one was 7. And they had the most wonderful ideas. They wanted to do a gaming podcast and a cat podcast. So we combined the two.
They had so many creative ideas. They were really enthusiastic. They were happy to have a go at anything that we threw at them. It was infectious.
It was. I loved how they had in their mind exactly what they wanted it to sound like. And they're like, I think I'd like music under there. And then we could like say, oh, do you know what that's called? That's called a bed when you talk over music. And he said, yeah, when my voice comes in, I'd like the music to go down. Yeah, that's called a fade.
Playing it back to them and their parent as well and seeing the reaction to hearing their idea be a thing, be real, something they've created. It was amazing.
It was. When children record, when their voices are recorded, there's just something really powerful about that. It's just pure innocence behind a microphone. It's glorious.
The other thing I really liked about the session and what we did was it was a test of our approach to things in the studio. So in here, we have some really, really expensive equipment and we've got expensive instruments that we use when we're creating music. Our whole approach and philosophy with that is to let young people and children explore it and have a look at it and touch it and feel it and press buttons. It felt really good to give them a space to do that.
My eye did twitch at times. I'm not going to lie. I'm only human. And that's only because I've been brought up in a way, don't touch that. Yeah. Don't do that. You're going to break it. It just all comes straight up for me. But I mean, it's all insured. You know what I mean?
And it's just stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's that's such stuff. A flippant thing to say. I've really got into this mindset in the last few years whereby, yeah, obviously you don't want expensive things to break. And there's much more to it than that. It's quite sort of, you know, it is flippant to say, but you don't learn unless you actually touch stuff and do stuff. And people might think, oh, yeah, you could get a 7-year-old to do a podcast, but you probably wouldn't let them, you know, touch the fancy mix or do the editing on the...
They were all over it.
Yeah, and they can do it.
Yeah, of course
they
can.
People completely underestimate children and their ability all the time.
Yeah. One thing I also love about children of that age is that they can move. They just move. And I think from our school days, to enable concentration, you need to be... looking, you need to be listening. Those two things at the same time. which gives the person teaching the respect they need, your concentration, your focus. I don't really agree with all that because I don't think people... We learn all the time about people that struggle to make eye contact with others, and that sort of sustaining that is difficult, really, really difficult. So I just love seeing children move, but yet still processing, still taking stuff in. And they were just a bundle of energy. Loved it.
Children are a really good example of that. There are a lot of people whose brains work differently, and actually listening involves them moving their bodies in order to listen. Mm-hmm. I think I'm one of those people, and actually I listen better if I'm not making eye contact with someone because I'm not thinking about their face.
Yeah. Or thinking. How they're responding to what you're saying, yeah.
Or like, have I blinked enough? Have I blinked enough? Should I smile now? Yeah, I'm going to smile. No, I shouldn't have smiled then. That was weird.
You're almost then completely disengaged with the conversation.
Yeah, because you're just overthinking it.
Other good bit?
Well, look behind you, Anna.
Oh, the curtains!
Brand new curtains in the studio. I hung them last night.
Great job.
It wasn't easy. They're like, 2.5 metres high? Mm. They're yellow. They feel really nice, kind of linen-y, but they're thick as well. In the studio, we have quite a lot of little corners and hard surfaces. So this should hopefully absorb some more of the sound waves that are bouncing around and make it sound lush. Mm.
Now, our podcast studio is in Norwich, the fine city of Norwich. And it's been told to me before, Sophie Little, that whenever you are designing anything or doing colour palettes or doing anything creative, you always revert back to yellow and green.
I don't know.
Die hard Norwich City fan.
I am not. No. It's not the football and it's not intentional. I think it's something ingrained in my brain. I think it's sunflowers.
Let's just get a canary transfer in here whilst we're doing it.
Oh, you should see my house.
All right, bad bits bit. The anxious tummy monster has returned. That's right, people. The energy bills are back with a vengeance. Oh. So we got another bill, but it was a fine bill. It was, again, a very low bill. And we thought, now, why is this so low? Because we have used the heaters.
It was the red flag was when it said we'd used 3 kilowatt hours of electricity. And I thought... Well, our heaters are 2.5 kilowatt hours
each,
and we have them on for multiple hours a day, and that was the extent of our monthly bill. And then we had a look at the meter, and then we had a look at the meter readings, and then we calculated, I mean, we've got the maths back out, and I know we're not, this is not a reliable thing for us. God. But we did look at it again, and we do think there has been... A major problem with the way that this has been calculated when we had that good news. So we thought we were going to owe between £5,000 and £8,000 in electricity. And then it ended up being just a few £100 and we celebrated.
Was it £400 or £500, something like that?
Yeah, this is over the space of, 9 months or whatever. Yeah. And we celebrated with you on gas bags.
Yeah.
And now we think we might owe £2,000.
Which is no laughing matter. Oh, my God.
So, that's our news. Stay with us for the ongoing jeopardy of our energy bills at Soundyard. We'll keep you up to date.
Yeah. Found sound. And it's your turn this week, Soph.
My found sound this week was recorded... Somewhere watery. Have a guess?
Somewhere watery.
I've taken you to a lake.
Yes.
Before.
Yeah. Bath?
No, I thought that was a bit intimate. I have done that, but I listened back to it and I thought,
a bit weird. They don't know us well enough yet. Okay, somewhere watery. A fountain?
No, shall I just tell you?
Yeah.
I went swimming this week with my family and we tend to get a few of us together and go and hire a pool for an hour. It works out cheaper for a start.
Yeah.
You can splash around. And I used to be a lifeguard about 400 years ago, so everyone's safe.
You also used to do synchronized swimming, which I think is amazing. I don't know anyone else who's ever been a synchronized swimmer.
I was a synchronized swimmer for about 10 years, along with my sister. It was what we did a lot of the time in our teen years. And it was, that's basically why I like to go swimming now, is to see if I can still do things. But anyway, a lot of the time I don't get to do that, especially now because my eldest child has decided to ditch the armbands in this pool, which is actually quite deep. So I go back to the lifeguarding more than I do the synchronized swimming. Anyway, I digress. It's really lovely. It's very splashy. It's very fun. And in my kitchen this week, in one of my cupboards of doom at home, I found an old GoPro and I remembered that it can record underwater and it can record audio underwater.
Oh, lovely.
So I took this swimming yesterday.
To say hello. Hi, we're just not swimming, so good morning and good night.
So the quality isn't amazing at all.
It's so cool.
It's really cool, isn't it? All of those like little micro, like air bubbles that you can hear.
Yeah.
And it just got me thinking how it actually reminded me of synchronized swimming, because you have to be able to hear it. So there's speakers underwater that play the music out that you're swimming to. Anyway, it just made me think about the whole world of sound underwater. And I think it's something that I want to look into and know more about and maybe do more about at Soundyard.
I know somebody who does that, who records the sounds of rivers.
Wow.
So I'll fix you two up.
Please do that.
That is beautiful. I really love that. My favourite bit of it is the when you're going in and out, and that sound of it. And it's really good quality. I thought, you know, you say it's not very good quality. It really illustrates what's happening. Mm. They almost sound like they're still in the womb, don't they?
Mm.
It's really weird. That might be what it sounds like for babies.
Yeah, totally. I had not thought about that. But you can feel the weight of the water,
yeah,
if that makes sense. When you're listening to it, it feels so close all, yeah, around, really muffled, but not distorted muffled, like if you had loads of wind or something. It's just like a real close sound.
Well, well done for doing that, because you can't, it's not like somewhere you can take headphones and listen to it. It was all completely random. This might work, it might not.
Yeah, it was an experiment.
And it was a bloomin' good one.
Podcast swap time.
Okay, this week I've dipped my toe into a genre that really isn't me. It's called Evolution of Horror, where the hosts delve into comparable horror films in really good detail.
This is really not you. You hate horror.
I hate horror films. I really, really don't like horror. I don't like being scared. The music, everything just puts me on edge. I was trying to work out how many I'd watched in my lifetime, and it wasn't many. But they still haunt me, and they still stick with me for very different reasons. I've watched Final Destination.
Yeah, classic.
Scream 1 and 2, didn't go any further. I just hated it. A bit of Saw. My husband went through a time of wanting to watch it. I just didn't want to watch it or any of it, really, but there we are. A bit of It, that was down to my dad, who did the first opening scene where she's running around the whirligig with the washing up, and then the clown lifts up the bed sheet.
Yeah.
And exposes his face to this little girl. It's at that point my dad would press pause on the VHS and be like, night, girls.
Oh, what?
I know.
What?
Class A, you know what. I mean, what a way to raise your kids. What a way to do that. I've watched The Hole, Blair Witch Project, Woman in Black, mainly because I had a bit of a thing at the time for Daniel Radcliffe, so it's the new one.
Okay.
Didn't really like it. Psycho, because you didn't have to. And The Shining, again, the classic that just has to be done. Now, I don't like feeling scared. I'm very sensitive to it. As I say, I feel haunted by them, so I avoid them. However, this podcast, I thought, might help me in a way. It's a really wonderful, safe arena for people just like me. And also for people who love horror, who absolutely adore it. You said the other day, Soph, that you really enjoy listening to film reviews about films that you've never seen before. Yeah. And it's a bit like that. They go really deep and have a comprehensive look at horror films. Some of the episodes do comparisons, like I mentioned. I listened to an episode of their Home Invasion series where they looked at Deadly Games and Home Alone as a horror. It was really good. The other episodes review new releases that are coming out in the cinemas. They have interviews with directors of horror, composers of horror music, which I loved. I love that one. I really love how music can make change how people feel. And they cover like subgenres in horror too. So they've got slashers series, they've got ghosts, folk, home invasion that I've mentioned, zombies, vampires, and all of those.
Have you watched any zombie films?
Shaun of the Dead.
That doesn't count. I don't. Well, maybe it does a little. It's very lighthearted, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't cope with much more than that.
No, that's fine. I just wondered.
No.
I like the zombie genre.
Do you?
Yeah. I think it's the apocalyptic landscape and trying to figure out what I'd do.
I'd probably prefer that because I know that's not going to happen. They go way back to when horror first began with like silent films to some of the real classics, to more modern things as well. And the hosts absolutely love it. It's just divine to hear them talking about it. Every episode is really conversational and long. They can vary between sort of an hour to 2 hours in length. They just love horror so much and they've thought so deeply about the films that they're talking about. And clearly the people being interviewed are just delighted to talk on a deeper level about what they've made or what they've created, which is such a compliment to Mike Munzer, who's the host of it. They are just so at ease. And I think that when people want to make a podcast, they don't usually consider that your podcast is only going to be as good as your guest. And your guest is only as good as you make them feel good. And that's making someone feel at ease, feel comfortable, and being genuinely interested in the subject that they're doing. Mike Munzer has created this wonderful community, I guess. This really wonderful community. It's got a beautiful website alongside Evolution of Horror, where you can look at all of the library of films that they've ever talked about, the events that they've got coming up as well. I just really like that they've made this community about people talking really passionately about film and a genre of film that for whatever reason I can't get along with, but was still really intrigued to hear people talk about. It's really lovely for someone who absolutely hates horror. It's lush.
I want to try that.
Yeah, you'd like it. I think you would like it.
So this week in podcast world, I have had a look. I've been scouting for something new that I might enjoy. I've gone into lots of different nooks and crannies, from people talking about women's issues to philosophy to real life survival stories. I've listened to a good few episodes of stuff, but nothing that I really wanted to bring to the table here. So I thought this week it would be good to go back to a podcast that I think, without being too dramatic, changed my life.
More.
It came out in 2017. It's produced by Serial Productions and This American Life. And you may well have listened to it or have heard of it before, because many millions of people around the world have. It's called Shit Town, also known as S Town. And I came across it because I listened to the podcast and radio show This American Life, which is something I'll probably talk about on another episode, because there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes I could recommend of that. It's brilliant. But yeah, they were talking about this new podcast that they were going to be releasing that year, and it just sounded really amazing and interesting. They released all 7 episodes at the same time in March 2017. It's creative nonfiction, so it's long-form journalism. But at the time, nothing had broken through like this, and no one was doing it in this way that felt so creative and so rich on storytelling and sound design. It was so thoughtful. And it was record-breaking. It was downloaded 10 million times in 4 days after its release. It's had over 80 million downloads since.
That's amazing.
S-Town is all about a man called John. So John gets in touch with This American Life and the producer Brian Reed of This American Life, and I think 2012, and asks him to come and investigate some strange goings on in his hometown, Woodstock, in Alabama. John hates his town and refers to it as shit town. And him and Brian Reed talk for quite a long time. Brian then decides he's going to go to this little town in Alabama and see what's going on and meet John, because John's alluding to a murder that's alleged to have happened there, and there may well be a story there to go and cover. So he travels there, he meets John, and then what unfolds is just so completely unpredictable. You would never know what path this podcast takes, and it goes in an entirely new direction. I'm not going to tell you actually too much more about it, because I think one of the most powerful things about listening to this podcast was listening to it totally fresh.
Yeah.
Trust me, it just will take you to places that you don't think it will.
I've listened to it and it is so unexpected. And for whatever reasons, I think it will chime with you, whatever your background.
It's been quite a contentious podcast. So it had a lot of critical reviews when it came out about whether it may have been quite exploitative journalism, or whether Brian Reed went too far in what he investigated and what he then told the world about. But if you get interested in that side of it, I would say there's a lot of articles online. There's interviews with Brian Reed as well. It's just quite an interesting arena to go and explore as well, because it's all about the ethics of journalism and the moral decisions you end up making as a journalist and how you tell stories. This was the first podcast that I really fell in love with. I thought that it was so in-depth, so creative, so immersive. It felt like reading a novel. The production was so beautiful. Brian Reed tells a story really, really well. In fact, actually, if you get nerdy like me on that side of things, there are some great videos online of him talking about the art of crafting stories and telling stories. That's an aside. One of the things that this podcast does really well as well, without giving you too much about this, is it talks about depression. And I shared that with someone close in my life, both of us having experienced that too. And it was just such a talking point about that subject that can be really difficult to broach. Yeah, so I think that it's stuck in my mind because it's an amazing podcast. It was a massive cultural moment in podcasting as well. If you've come to podcasting in the last couple of years, go back to this, because this was the time that a podcast really, really did something record-breaking and broke through and changed the way that stories can be told with audio in the podcasting realm. So yeah, if you haven't listened to this, I would say it's definitely worth your time going back, taking a listen to it, seeing what you think. I'm actually going to go do that in the next couple of weeks, because it must have been at least 5 years since I've listened to it, maybe six.
It's like one of those books that you can revisit over and over again. It's really powerful.
Yeah, super powerful. So if you want to have a chat about it as well, send me an email.
Yes.
Love to have a discussion. hello@soundyard.org. Also, if you are on Instagram, it's @gasbagspod. And we'd love for you to join us on there. I am going to be posting up all of our podcast recommendations on that platform too. So if you want nice, easy, clickable links with a little roundup of what we've been talking about over the previous episodes, then that's the place to go.
Well, shall we go and have another dunk?
Do you want to go dunk in the pool?
Dive in, dip your toe, off we go. Thank you.